You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, coming to you live on the 2nd of April, 2026. Producer Scott just came in. He has a great nickname for President Trump. I think it's an accurate one. President Monkey Paw. He's President Monkey Paw. You get what you asked for, but not how you wanted it, right? And it actually, the more I think about it, the more accurate it is. We've been begging Pam Bondi to be fired, or Trump to fire Pam Bondi, since she was put in the office. Well, your wish is our command. We got our wish. Who's she being replaced with? Todd frickin' Blanche. The worst person in the Trump administration, as far as I can tell, as of now. The single reason why we failed to get any justice against any of the deep state criminals that are still walking freely. Okay, so you get what you want. It's just not how you expected it. We've been begging. I mean, one of the whole reasons we voted for Trump in the first place was to get out of the Middle East. Well, guess what, folks? Oh, we're getting out of the Middle East, all right? We're fleeing the Middle East with our tail between our legs. Iranian missiles in hot pursuit. It's what we asked for, I guess. So maybe we need to be a little bit more specific when we wish for President Monkey Paw to do something. Like, yes, we do want a crackdown on the colleges teaching, you know, perverse woke stuff. We do not want them banishing anti-Israel sentiment, sir. Thank you. Like, do we need to be that specific? This should all be obvious. So President Monkey Paw is at it again. Trump fires Pam Bondi as attorney general. She will be replaced for now by Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche. So he's acting attorney general for now until they can find someone worse. Okay. Until they can find someone even worse than Todd Blanche, I assume he'll be replaced by Hillary Clinton next or something. We don't know. Be Hillary Clinton in a mask or something. It'll be a guy that looks suspiciously like Jeff Epstein with a big burly mustache. If I had to guess, let's go to clip number 42 here. This is Fox News with the announcement earlier today. Pam Bondi, she's out. Let's watch.
Kaylee, I just got off the phone with President Trump. We have a big scoop. Pam Bondi will soon leave her job as the attorney general. She is going to get a different job within the administration. It doesn't sound like there is any bad blood between her and President Trump, but it does seem like they want her to go and do something else. And in an interim role, she will be replaced by Todd Blanche, who is currently her deputy at the Justice Department. So it doesn't sound like Blanche is being elevated long-term to the attorney general. There might be somebody else that the president wants to go in there. But President Trump soon will announce to the entire world that it is the end of Pam Bondi's time as the attorney general. He still thinks that she is a great person and that she did a good job. And he still wants her in the fold because she will still be an important part of the administration, he tells me. But no longer as the top law enforcement officer of the United States. That, at least for a little while, is going to be
in the hands of Todd Blanche. Todd friggin' Blanche. Okay, so there you go. That's what's happening. Now, this is actually kind of a bit of a change in trajectory because so far the pattern has been that it's all the best people in Trump's administration that are being ousted thoroughly. Basically, only a few left, and they seem to be, you know, barely hanging on by their fingernails. But I really have nothing. Like, I cannot possibly justify why this would be happening, and why Pam Bondi is still being held over. Again, the people that literally betray Trump, he treats better than his friends. Alex played a clip today of Trump where he's talking about, Hegseth ousts Army Chief of Staff General Randy George. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has asked Army Chief of Staff General Randy George to step down and take immediate retirement. One of the sources said Hegseth wants somebody in the role who will implement President Trump and Hegseth's vision for the Army. George previously served as a senior military assistant. Can we see what the reason was, I wonder? Don't scroll down a little bit. Because I guess he was nominated for the position by Joe Biden, confirmed by the Senate in 2023. He would have typically held the position until 2027. The current vice chief of staff of the Army, General Christopher Leneve, who was formerly Hegseth's military aide, will likely be considered as a replacement. He previously served as a commanding general of the Army's 82nd Airborne Division from 2022 to 2023. Interesting. He may have lacked faith. He may have not been fully committed to the apocalyptic death cult that's currently getting us into war in Iran. Yeah, I got nothing. I got really no explanation as for why this would be happening right now, or what would even, you know, motivate Trump to do this. But it does seem like everybody who hates him is his best friend. Alex played a video on the show today of Trump talking about being seduced by Mark Levin. Just another weird, kind of just weird thing Trump has been saying these days. And he's like, maybe I shouldn't be seduced, but I can't help it. When people say nice things about me, I like them. I can't help it. Like, that's not really true, though, is it? I mean, Mark Levin kind of despised you for a while, worked very hard against you, just like Ben Shapiro. I mean, everybody he's surrounded by right now are never Trumpers that only went over to Trump when they realized that his victory was inevitable and they wanted in on the power that he was generating. So he destroys everybody that actually supports him, or at the very least, you know, pretends they don't exist. So this is just pathetic and inverted and bizarre. But I don't even think we need to, like, I don't know. It's kind of a waste of time to speculate. It's just, this is just what's happening. You know, Pam Bondi's illustrious career, in which she both gave the initial sweetheart deal to Jeffrey Epstein as a prosecutor in Florida, and then made her way up to the DOJ, where she tried to trick everybody into thinking that the Epstein files were being released. That was a silly event. Like, maybe we should go through some of her greatest hits, Pam Bondi's greatest hits of her time, her 1 year as the top cop in America, in which crime has flourished, white collar crime especially so. I mean, I've got a story in here somewhere about, you know, the shouting match that occurred before she got fired. I'm having trouble finding it because I'm just having to go through story after story about the relentless fraud that is destroying America at every level from every angle. I mean, it just goes on and on. But apparently, Trump's not done firing people quite yet. Trump jokes about firing Caroline Leavitt as bad publicity spirals, which, again, Alex called Trump Mad King George, and I was mentioning this before. I mean, we like to think it's not going to happen to us. We like to think that we're able to avoid these fates. But I was saying previously, there was the revelation that, you know, Trump was being separated from people and that only good news, he only wanted to hear good news, and that he's delivered a 2-minute video just showing the highlights of all the successes in Iran that day. And I said it was the beginning of this week. Like, this is what happens with tyrants, unfortunately. And it is a feedback loop, and it's a cycle that they enter into where their ideas fail, but they don't want to be told that. And so anybody that does tell them the reality about what's going on, they get mad at and usually kick out, and everybody else gets the signal and learns, okay, they only want good news. And so then what starts happening is this feedback loop begins, and the more and more it goes, the wider and wider the disconnect between the leader and reality becomes. Because if you fire everybody that's telling you the truth and the people around you are only telling you lies, then you're going to be making bad decisions because you're making decisions on the basis of lies. And when those bad decisions go badly, they don't tell you it goes badly. They tell you it went well, so you double down on that bad decision, and that's the cycle that continues, and anybody that tries to stop it is treated like an enemy because they're telling the truth and he only wants to hear lies. So anybody like Joe Kent or Tucker Carlson or Charlie Kirk or anybody that had the ability at one point to go up to Trump and say, hey, you're being misled here or this is a bad decision, they've all been driven out. They've all been driven away. Now nobody's telling him his decisions are bad. They're in fact telling him the decisions are good. So he keeps making the bad decisions, which is going to cause more people to want to go to him and say, hey, you're not doing the right thing, which is going to make him more paranoid and thinking that more people are turning against him and trying to stop him and lying to him. We are in a feedback loop that we should be very, 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 very familiar with by this point. And this type of joking about Caroline Leavitt, I feel like, is both the joke itself is kind of a symbol of this type of narcissistic madness, right? You see that as well as people who really do become like total tyrants, like authoritarian tyrants. They actually will think it's funny to be like, I could have you killed, you know, I could snap my finger. They'd chop your head off. You know that? Have you ever seen like Caligula or like read anything about Roman emperors? They would literally sort of like revel in the fact that people were terrified of them. Be like, oh, I could kill you, you know. Oh, it takes one word, so you better be careful. I'm not going to, though. And it's like, please don't kill me. Yeah, it's sort of where we're at. He's like, yeah, maybe I'll fire you because of the bad policy. But then because of the bad publicity, does he think it's her fault? Does she think it's her fault that the publicity is bad? Or do you think it's the decisions that you're making that are leading to the bad outcomes, that are leading to people not liking the decisions? That's the bad publicity, but he's blaming Caroline Leavitt. Again, even if it's a joke, it's like probably not that much of a joke. It hints to his real mindset, which seems to be, if I'm being criticized, it's somebody else's fault, which is a very dangerous position for somebody to be in. Sometimes it happens even if the people themselves don't want it to be the case. In other words, it doesn't have to be a conscious action by Trump. It's usually not a conscious action by the person in charge. Do you want to hear maybe the most like famous example of this? It ain't history. I mean, but probably the most famous example would be something like Hitler, right? It would be something like Hitler making terrible decisions about opening the Second Front and not listening to his generals because, you know, he'd become megalomaniacal by then. And this is a constant pattern that we have to defend against. And people don't want to think that we're in this pattern right now, but I think we could be. And I think it could be a created situation by the people around Trump because it's useful for them. And then at the end of the day, he'll get the blame and they'll make off scot-free. But no, one of the best examples of this is episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Star Wars. You guys know George Lucas was like this, where the first three Star Wars were brilliant because he wasn't who he became. George Lucas was just some up-and-coming, you know, sci-fi nerd director with a dream, and people didn't really take him that seriously and would, you know, not listen to him that much. But then by the time episode one is being made, he is upheld, he's uplifted as this, you know, demigod. He is the creator of Star Wars. No one can question him. And if you watch the making of episode one, you can see it in action where his bad ideas, everybody around him, it refuses to say it, refuses to, you know, contradict him. And he doesn't create that atmosphere. It's just something that naturally occurs. You know, people are just afraid to say something. And you don't get the feeling that he was a tyrant that was, you know, viciously attacking people that were disagreeing with him. So again, might sound silly bringing up Star Wars episode one, but this is not a good movie. It's not a well-made movie. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I like it a hell of a lot more than the sequels. But it could have been a whole hell of a lot better if George Lucas had people around him who could have put a damper on some of his more, you know, ridiculous desires. So again, I'm just saying this is just a natural part of like human existence, and we're seeing it right now in the Trump administration. There's no reason why the Trump administration would be immune to this. And they're playing at a lot higher stakes than, you know, the future of a sci-fi movie series. But still, this is the type of thing that happens, and that's how you come out with bad decisions. Now, in the case of episode one, it still made a lot of money, and it's still, you know, got made and got created, like, you know, it can still happen. It's just, could you imagine if it, you know, would have been handled by somebody with anybody except for yes men around him? So whether it's invading Russia or making Jar Jar Binks a main character, it's like, this is what happens when the people around the powerful are quislings and cowards, and when the people who are in power don't go out of their way to deliberately find alternative viewpoints and actually judge the results of their decisions in the basis of reality. So Trump jokes about firing Caroline Leavitt as bad publicity spirals, which, again, it's just his fault. Speaking in the Oval Office, not to belabor, and we'll move on, but it's just sort of like, it's sort of the perfect thing, right? He does something bad, then the publicity is bad, and in his mind, he's literally like, what did Caroline Leavitt do? Doesn't even enter into his mind that it could be his fault. It's just emblematic of everything else going on. Maybe Caroline's doing a poor job. I don't know, Trump said jokingly, turning to face Leavitt directly. You're doing a terrible job. A White House official confirmed the remarks were made in jest. Trump quickly followed up. Shall we keep her? I think we'll keep her.
Yeah, hopefully so. Hopefully so.
You know, the good news is getting fired from Trump massively lowers your risk of being jailed by the Democrats when this little experiment of war in Iran blows up in the face of the Republicans. The Democrats get back in power and become tyrannical jackasses that just flagrantly violate the rule of law to go after their political opponents. You know, the earlier you're kicked out of the Trump White House, the more likely it is that you don't end up on a scaffold, you know, waiting to be hung by the psychopaths in the Democratic Party that we are currently handing our country to because Trump has decided to go all in 100% on sacrificing our empire for the fledgling Israeli empire. Trump polled advisors about replacing Tulsi Gabbard as intelligence chief as well. President Trump has privately asked cabinet members in recent weeks whether he should replace his director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, venting frustration that she shielded a former deputy who undercut his rationale for war with Iran, according to two people briefed on the discussions. So, again, this is what in a healthy functioning system, somebody like Joe Kent, a man with, you know, honor and respectability, who was dedicated to his duty and his job and was forced to take extreme measures in these extraordinary circumstances, that should have been a wake-up call. And in a normal, healthy, functioning system, that would be recognized as a wake-up call. And he'd be working with Tulsi Gabbard to try to figure out how to prevent that from happening in the future, or would listen to Joe Kent and see if what he said was actually valid. But we're not operating in a healthy system right now. We're operating in a solipsistic narcissist cube. We're trapped in a cube of Trump's narcissism. And so he's going to blame Tulsi Gabbard for not going hard enough against Joe Kent, even though Joe Kent's resignation was a direct consequence of Donald Trump's unwillingness to listen to people like Tulsi Gabbard. So he could listen to Tulsi Gabbard, actually have the correct information. Going back in time, if he had listened to Tulsi Gabbard, we wouldn't have gotten into the war with Iran. We wouldn't be in the quagmire that we're in already. Now, you remember, in the beginning, it was supposed to be 48 hours. Supposed to be 24 hours. Supposed to be just in and out, Venezuela-style attack. It didn't work out that way. So about 4 days in, they said, don't worry, fear not. We've already planned on this. This operation was always meant to last 4 weeks. That was about 4.5 weeks ago. So again, it seems like this speech that Trump gave yesterday was an attempt to kind of act like we're on the right path, make people think that we're doing the right thing. Some of the statements he made about you have to cherish the Strait of Hormuz, I mean, it is all just bizarre. It's all bizarre. And it was all self-contradictory about how we've won, but we'll be increasing the, you know, attacks that we make over the next 2 or 3 weeks. We totally defeated them, that we're out, that you guys take over the Strait of Hormuz, while at the same time removing tens of thousands of soldiers into position for what appears to be a major ground invasion. So this is kind of a giant bummer. We can go to the speech. I mean, you gave a couple speeches yesterday, and they were all just, again, just utter and complete and ridiculous madness. But let's go to Donald Trump here in one of his one of the crazy speeches he gave yesterday. Not the, not the one where he is being called Jesus. Not the one where he's saying that we can't have daycare because the war is too fun. Let's go to clip 25. This is Trump on the Iran war during his big primetime special event, mission accomplished speech yesterday. Let's watch.
Thanks to the progress we've made, I can say tonight that we are on track to complete all of America's military objectives shortly, very shortly. We are going to hit them extremely hard over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We're going to bring them back to the Stone Ages where they belong. In the meantime, discussions are ongoing. Regime change was not our goal. We never said regime change, but regime change has occurred because of all of their original leaders' death. They're all dead. The new group is less radical and much more reasonable. Yet if during this period of time no deal is made, we have our eyes on key targets. If there is no deal, we are going to hit each and every one of their electric generating plants very hard and probably simultaneously. We have not hit their oil, even though that's the easiest target of all, because it would not give them even a small chance of survival or rebuilding. But we could hit it, and it would be gone, and there's not a thing they could do about it.
Okay, great. So, again, we'll get into all of this. I also have, you know, Israel fatigue. I'm sick of talking about it. Yesterday, I only spent 30 minutes on the war, but still, it feels like all of these, everything going on, the Iran war just sort of looms over, casts a shadow over, and is impossible to get away from. So we'll try to, you know, figure out exactly what the hell's going on here when he says we've won, but we're going to double down and we're not going to free the strait. Europe has to do it. I mean, it's just, again, just all crazy. And the craziest part of all, perhaps, is that literally every time we get an off-ramp, Israel destroys it. Literally. Every time we're negotiating with somebody, every time we have somebody that we think we might be able to work with to come to a peaceable conclusion, to have a ceasefire, and start working to rebuild the Middle East in a new way, Israel bombs them to death and kills them. Because they're our enemies, because they have gotten us into the trap, and now every time we try to pull ourselves out of the pit, they're up there with a big stick shoving our face and pushing us back into the hole. So I think I know where we need to focus our ire.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro-cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering it. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.